And we talked about legislative update on what's going on in state government. In your packets, there is the slides that we went through. The bottom line is financially, state aids will stay similar. Computer aids will stay similar. Road funding will stay similar. They are going to get rid of $70 million in personal property tax, which directly hits our bottom line, but they are talking about a make good on that. The question we all have is, okay, that's good for 1 year. It might be good for the biennium, but what are you going to do in the future? They're going to make some small changes to levy restrictions, fire protection fee, that kind of thing. They're talking about a new Chapter 980 provisions, which I don't believe that we will like. They're talking about a statewide ordinance for sex offender residency. And the big ones for us that are hot currently are the Walgreens legislation, the Walgreens fix, and the big dark store fix. Mr. Liberta appeared at a public hearing last Thursday, in front of the state Senate. For those of you who don't know what this is, big box stores, specifically in Franklin, Menards, and Home Depot, are suing us to reduce their assessment, in some cases, by more than 50%. That tax will go from them to you. So we're fighting that hard. It appears that, and Walgreens as well, as they haven't sued us yet, but they're suing people for exactly the same thing, different reasons, different circumstances. The legislation is scheduled to be, well, they're thinking that it'll go to the Senate first. There's some politics being played there. But the turnout in support of the fix bills was tremendous. So I think it looks good. And that's huge. That means a lot for us. What was it, Mark? $6 million?
Not in total property taxes, but in value of property assessment that could go down, it was closer to the neighborhood of over $30 million.
$30 million in value, and some of that's in a TIF district, which will impact the TIF district and its closing. So this stuff's in your packet. You're welcome to take a look at it. I got the packet with my scribbles on it. If anybody wants to see that, I'll get you the information.
Okay, another question.
Alderman Wilhelm.
On the Act 50, where it's modifying how a mayor may notify the common council members of a special meeting, do you recall?
I believe that passed. That passed.
And what was the outcome?
It passed so that I can call a meeting through whatever means I deem appropriate, that I have a reasonable expectation that you will get the notice.
Okay, great.
So we can do a text instead of having to mail you the notice.
And the code will be reflected.
Yeah.
Do you do a text?
I haven't called a special meeting, so we usually just call.
What were you doing on Thursday last week? That was a special meeting.
Well, Sandy called everybody.
Right, but I'm saying is, so it's not really any different than how we operate now, just that you could do something like a text?
Well, we're allowed to do it now. We used to have to do all that polling and then send you a letter.
Oh, we never did a letter?
Yeah, we used to, yeah.
Well, I didn't receive a letter this last time.
The police department usually drops them off.
Well, in my...
Not this last one. No.
I'm saying I can tell you since 2008, I don't remember a letter coming to my house since 2008.
I don't. I've only been a mayor since 2014.
Well, we've had numerous meetings, special meetings, in the last, since you and I have been together here and here, and I've never had a letter at my house, so...
Mr. City Attorney.
Special meetings per code are called under circumstances where there's contact and consent by all the common council members, that the additional process of some form of written notice beyond delivery of the agenda is not undertaken.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to item C, approval of minutes. Item C1, approval of the regular common council meeting of August 15th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 2, special common council meeting of August 28th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And again, special meeting from August 31st.
Second.
The letter's in the mail.
All those in favor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item E, any wishes for separate action?
No, motion approved.
Discussion?
Second.
No discussion.
There is no, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that, as set forth in the Department of City Development report in the packet, there is a statutorily valid protest petition, which...
This is boards and commissions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got him. First time in 20-some-odd years, I got him.
But he's on it.
Alderman Nelson.
Disregard. I'm good with it.
Madam Clerk.
Steve Taylor made the motion, I think.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries, 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no abstentions. We move on to...
Can we get item number 6? It's a real quick one.
Move on to item 6, which is an authorization to purchase 2 automatic license plate readers for the police department.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Chief. Catch those guys. You too, Schrader. Item G1, an ordinance to amend the unified development ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land, R2 single family to R3. Mr. City Attorney.
Only that there's a requirement for 5 affirmative votes under the Unified Development Ordinance pursuant to the statute and case law authority. So it takes 5 votes to adopt any rezoning ordinance, which is the subject to a protest petition. The Department of City Development in detail reviewed the petition, and there were more than enough signatories to make it valid and enforceable.
Is there action regarding this matter?
Is there discussion prior to motion?
Alderman Nelson.
I had the opportunity early on to meet with Mr. Prisbilla and his development team, and what was presented to me, I liked the houses, I liked where it was going. Concerns were then almost simultaneously brought forth by the neighborhood. Then I got an education from a few members on the planning commission, DNR issues, a lot of questions came up. The second plan commission meeting, I'm not going to call them up by name, but there's a 2 that voted no on this, brought up some great points regarding stormwater and basic other development questions. And when I put it all together, I like the development. I like it under the current zoning of R2, and I cannot support the move to R3.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Since I do serve on the plan commission meeting, and actually conducted the 1 meeting in August. Some of the concerns in regards to changing it over from R2 to R3, there were some misnomers out there in regards to if we change it to R3, that eventually, if the plan didn't work, that they could go to quarter-acre lots. Let's clarify that. The minimum is 20,000 square feet. 20,000 square feet of 45,000, slightly under a half acre. The proposal that Creative Homes is presenting is approximately 25,000 square feet, so it's a little over a half acre. Some of them are a little bit greater, some of them are a little less. When we look at this parcel, the vote that we took at planning was only for the rezoning. Developers today have a very difficult time expending hundreds of thousands of dollars to give you everything up front. Developers don't do that today. They come to us with an idea. There are many times that the plan commission and the common council is going to review this plan if it would get approved,
it would have to come back to us. This is only the beginning. But a lot of people want to superimpose and superinject all the hypotheticals that are out there. There are hypotheticals out there, okay? And there are deep concerns out there. But the professionals haven't done their work yet because it wasn't time for them to do the work yet. But everybody wants to have it delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered so they can see what it's going to be. You know, this development may not turn out to be 25 lots. It probably won't, because it'll turn out to be that way. Because the wetland delineation still has to be done. As former Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer mentioned, it's older than 5 years old. We are all cognizant of that and aware of that, that it has to be redone. So there could be new findings. There could be some concerns that are brought up that would then come back to the Plan Commission and then come back to the Common Council. But everybody wants to stop it before it even gets any momentum. So it's our job to look at the motion that's in front of us, which is considered the rezoning. Then the other issues that arise, we consider those as they approach us with the expertise and the support that comes with it. So we've got to be able to do our job. If we don't have the data to even look at, we don't know what we're doing. But there's also the alternative out there that if it doesn't get approved, the contrary could also happen. The developer could still come back and keep it within the zoning, the current zoning standards of our two. If that happens, you know, under the R3 development, he's proposing to cover the water. So the people along St. Martin's Road are getting a gift. So that gift may be taken away, and that's a couple hundred thousand, potentially a couple hundred thousand dollar gift. That he could come back to the city and say, okay, I'm going to do the development under the current restrictions, current zoning, but I can't afford to do the water, but I need water to come to the development. So anybody who lives in that trail of St. Martin's Road probably will get a special assessment. And those individuals that may be your neighbors are not going to be very happy neighbors anymore. So just remember what we're... I don't have to take questions, thank you, sir. But just so you know, there are potentially other developments that could occur that may turn out to be not in your favor. So those are my final comments on this... we'll let the other council members speak, and then we'll move forward.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I listened to that with great interest. So on, they do come to us with an idea. Oftentimes they meet with the neighbors. I like to encourage that. I don't know if he's met with the neighbors, but it sounds to me like the neighbors already are not in support of it anyway. There are hypotheticals. And in this case, there is one item that's not a hypothetical, and that's the item that former Alderwoman Suzanne Mayer brought up, was the length of the cul-de-sac. Without a solution for the length of this cul-de-sac, I'm looking at this as something that happened in my district where a road was put in. It wasn't supposed to be an additional road. Then another development came on and added on to the end of that road, and the cul-de-sac became very long. And what happens when we go beyond what the ordinance has for that cul-de-sac length, and you don't have any other way in and out, is you create a possible safety issue, because if the road gets blocked, there's not much of a way into that area. So while ideas are great and hypotheticals and all that are fine, this item has a item that's kind of staring us right in the face on how do we solve a really long cul-de-sac length to make this a safe subdivision. So I guess I would prefer, if we are going to move ahead with making a cul-de-sac longer than the ordinance allows, that we keep it to a smaller amount of lots for the safety, and that would, for me, would be the R2 zoning.
Okay. I don't have a vote on this, but I'm really concerned about what I've heard, not from the neighbors, but from the folks on our boards and commissions and our aldermen who are injecting items into a zoning request. It's a zoning request. It's got nothing to do with cul-de-sacs. It's got nothing to do with stormwater. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's a very simple question. Should the zoning change from R2 to R3? That's it. You guys can come to whatever conclusions you want and arrive at that. But you're giving your constituents this idea that means that argument means something when it doesn't. If you're going to vote no, that's fine. Vote no. But it's a rezoning. Should it be changed from R3 to R2? That's it. No traffic worries, no lot size issues, no color of paint on house trims, none of that. It's should it be changed from R2 to R3, period. So plan commissioners too. I'm going to say it publicly. I was very disappointed to hear that our plan commissioners used arguments like that to vote no. If they wanted to vote no, the answer is very simple. I don't believe that we ought to have those lot sizes in that area. Period. Let's get off this who it is and get on to what it is. Alderman Wilhelm.
I believe mine was what it is. It was about a cul-de-sac in relationship to the issues that I have. And if I'm only going to carry that opinion forward further and I don't give an opinion now on why, and the developer proceeds as if we're okay with it and spends a bunch of money, that's being disingenuous as well to the developer. I would rather, if my answer is going to be no in the future, that the developer know that now rather than having them drag it out. So that was my reason for expressing it. It wasn't because I want to inject all these other things. I full well know about rezoning. I've been around in the city coming to meetings for 18 years, so I don't need a lecture on that. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I agree it's about the what, not the who, not some of the other issues that I brought up, but I would say that without having some of the answers to the issues that were brought up, how do you rezone now? I understand that developers nowadays don't want to bring forward hundreds of thousands of dollars of architectural work and final plans and spend money on stormwater and all that. I get that. But I've seen projects with a hell of a lot more information than what's in front of me now to be able to make a decision. And that's not the case. And based on the constituents who are not only Alderman Nelson's constituents, but they're mine too. I tend to like to listen to what those people have to say. And I have a petition here that says, you guys, if you're going to do this, it needs five of you. Five. Well, we have the alderman of the district, and tell you right now, I'm pretty sure he's going to go on this, and we're missing one alderman. You can't even do it if you wanted to tonight. Wanted to approve it. The numbers just aren't there. But I look at the number of the lots. I think that's the wrong location for that size. And I think it's, if you're going to have 25 homes, I mean, yes, you could, there may be a number here, a number there, different from what's being proposed. Alderman Dandria is right out what the minimum lot size is. But I'm just going to listen to what those around it are asking for, and I'll be voting no. Not enough information, that's for sure.
Alderman Barber.
I'm impressed by what the constituents have forwarded to me in terms of the materials they've sent. I think the presentations that I've heard at the Planning Commission as well as here have been respectful, and they have at least raised issues that I think the developer should be aware of and should be considering before we get to these steps along the way. I I think the residents in the nearby area should have some input into what their surroundings are going to be. And I'm disappointed that that hasn't happened for you at this point, too. I'm not sure you'd ever have full satisfaction, but at least a running dialogue and some information sharing and getting to the point where there might be some mutual ground to work with. And I haven't heard that as being part of any presentation at this point, so I'm disappointed with that process.
I will suggest that there's three motions available. One is to approve, one is to deny, and one is to table. Is there a motion regarding this action? Alderman Nelson.
Motion to deny.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Deny.
Aye.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Yeah.
Motion is passes. Four, I got to do my math. Four ayes, one no, and one absent. Okay, move on to item G2. Resolution conditionally approving a land combination for 7236 South 68th Street.
Who's in?
Second.
Discussion on that motion? Barber. Barber and Taylor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G3 is a brief report from the health officer.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Well, can we give them 5 minutes?
Sure.
Please?
Maybe two.
Please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
It's as good as it gets, Bill.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Common Council. To be brief, as we know, the traditional roles of government, this is a non-traditional role, in my opinion, even though Franklin Health Department for the past 9 years has conducted community education in the community. For example, last year we had 16 programs in our adult education series reaching over 800 people. Last winter, we piloted a series called Great Relationships End with Mr. Bill Schock, creator, presenter. That idea grew out of a luncheon discussion 2 years ago where we were debating how do you measure population health, how do you grow it, how do you improve the day-to-day welfare of all citizens of Franklin. And from that discussion, that luncheon discussion, Great Relationship was born. That inaugural session was held last year, inaugural because we normally don't repeat series or individual speakers, but the response from the citizens who attended, over 200, was so overwhelmingly positive, I felt it necessary to continue the discussion tonight with the Common Council, because this is not business as usual, because I could not find another local public health department at the county or city level that has done similar research. And so this evening I wanted you to briefly meet Mr. Schock, hear his perspective on Great Relationship Sense, and without further ado, Mr. Bill Schock.
There are two handouts that we provided for you. One says GRS Franklin Series 216 to 17 comments of attendees, and then another one is a program satisfaction survey schedule. Something happened in your city last year that never happened in America before, and it happened on your watch. It's quite amazing that tonight before you is the story of what happened for you to consider what will happen about it now. That's unusual. You certainly, as other city councils, don't have much experience in deciding upon matters like this. Last year, Franklin became the first municipality in America to provide relationship education for its citizens. My name is Bill Schacht. I own an outpatient counseling clinic that's housed within the Innovative Health and Fitness building. I'm a relationship coach and lecturer about effective relationship. Bill met me 5 years ago when I was creating a seminar for parents going through divorce. He saw that course have a very positive impact on attendees. Last May, Bill asked me to create a seminar series for the Franklin Health Department to provide relationship education to the citizens of Franklin. I was humbled by that request. He said, I can't pay you, and I said, no need. We created an initiative called Healthy Community and Happy Households Rely on Joyful Relationships. That just makes sense, doesn't it? But what could we bring educationally to the people of your city that would actually produce more joyful relationships in the houses in your city? I took all I knew and all I had done working with couples for 39 years and created great relationships since. Every committed couple needs it. That's obvious, isn't it? We had no idea who would show up or how the attendees would respond. We held our breath in presenting a four-part series over a five-month period. The satisfaction surveys and testimonials lie before you. If you reference the testimonial sheet, please look at number 12.
Page 126.
This person says, very impressed that the city of Franklin would have the vision to provide this to their community, recognizing that community happiness starts at home. Wonderful, candid speaker. I can tell you I've shared this initiative with teachers, clergy, business leaders, healthcare providers, other professionals and residents in this community, and I've had no one say, that was a really bad idea. In fact, they say, wow, that's really innovative. This is not IKEA. This is not a new arena for the Bucks. This is not The Rock. But what this is, if it continues and is presented to its potential, more and more couples will attend. And what that will do for the city of Franklin cannot even be imagined tonight. But without doubt, it will stand as testament to a better Franklin long after those sites have run their course. So my asks of you, Mayor, and council members, are foursome. Please attend when we start the seminar series with a loved one. It is the only way you will be able to understand what we are talking about and to be able to truly support it as it continues to produce great attendee satisfaction ratings. Number two, we're a week away from starting the series next Tuesday at the Franklin Public Library. Tell your constituents about this initiative. Moreover, if you have adult children in a committed relationship, advise them to come. Watch what happens to them, and they'll tell you what to do to move forward. Number three, promote this initiative in the city newsletter and on the City of Franklin website. And finally, support Bill and my desire to continue great relationship sense in Franklin to see where the research takes us. So thank you, Mayor Olson and council members, for the opportunity to be part of this noble undertaking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Bill? Other Bill? Alderman Barber.
As a member of the Board of Health, I'm familiar with the program, the content, and I was fairly impressed with some of the people that are the participants and what they've said. So I would be definitely in favor of this. I'm thinking about attending the class myself. The idea is, can I get my wife to come? That would be my job to do. Maybe I'm the only one who needs these skills, but anyway, I would speak in praise of this program and think it's a worthwhile initiative for us to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
There's a motion to receive and place on file. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks
guys. Item G4, establish primary health care benefit levels for the city of Franklin. Mr. Liberta.
In your packet is a council action sheet that
explains the outline of the planned health insurance benefits for employees and retirees and participating family members for 2018. This has been to the Personnel Committee twice, and the same level of benefits was discussed at the second budget presentation I made, I believe, in July. The only distinction that's added here is we've continued to get some additional information from the Business Healthcare Group on the United Healthcare, which is our current provider network, inclusion of Tier 1 doctors, and to try and actually bring that into play in our plan and incentivize it to help reduce costs both immediately and in repetitive care. Other than what's in the council action.
Motion approved.
Second.
Just for your own information, a Tier 1 doctor is the best of the best. They get the highest, the best results, the highest consumer reporting, and that consequently leads to lower costs, and that's why they're incented at a higher or a less deductible. Alderman Dandria.
Question.
And that's a unique program, by the way.
Mark, on page 130, you had mentioned something about carryover deductibles. Our policy was what in the past?
Including this year, we've had a practice where if you're still making deductible payments and they occur first in the fourth quarter, that value is carried over into the start of the next year as if you had made that deductible payment after January 1st. It's an old legacy aspect of health plans that doesn't really exist in current health plans. It was a strategy used by people to plans to encourage people to go ahead and take health care in the fourth quarter because people would delay health care to after the year so they could get it all their deductibles in one period. And the health industry as a whole has moved away from that that thinking, but it is something that's carried over through into Humana because when we went there, and then into UHC, because there wasn't enough time for employees to adapt to it. So this year, we're going to make sure everyone is aware and implement it in the new year and take that change away. It's not a huge cost change to us because we don't have a lot of it that occurs. Again, the nature of healthcare has moved a little bit away from it, so there's not a big impact to us, but it does do what we're trying to do throughout this health plan, which is make our plan more representative and consistent with other health plans that are out there.
Right. And just so you know, I do serve on the Personnel Committee. We've recommended this step. Next year, there's another step that we're doing because we have to, as a city, seriously get more in line with what is actually